Digital Literacy Reflection, Understanding and Learning of Its Importance. Hello everyone, my first ever podcast. I never thought I would ever be on a digital platform, but here I am courtesy of my online master's in education at Queen Margaret University. Thanks to them, I now understand as an educator the importance of digital literacy in education. My understanding of digital literacy has significantly evolved. Initially, I saw it primarily as the ability to use digital tools efficiently, basic skills like navigating apps or using online platforms. But through deeper engagement with theorists like Rene Hobbs, 2017, and explorations into the social, ethical, and educational dimensions of technology, I now view digital literacy as a much broader, more critical competency. Digital literacy involves not only using digital tools but also interpreting, evaluating, and creating content across platforms in ways that are responsible, ethical, and inclusive. It means being critically aware of how digital environments shape the information we receive, the way we interact, and the knowledge we construct. Hobbes' 2017 emphasis on creation and collaboration in digital spaces really challenged me to consider how media literacy, creativity, and critical thinking intersect. For me as an educator, this learning has reinforced the need to go beyond just teaching students how to use technology. Instead, I need to help them understand how technology influences their thinking, communication, and identity. For instance, I'm now more mindful of how algorithmic bias, data privacy, and platform monopolies can affect students' digital experiences, issues closely tied to discussions we've had around neoliberalism and the commodification of education. The Inspire Learning case in Scottish Borders Knox, 2022, brought these implications into focus. While providing students with iPads expands access and supports creativity, it also raises questions about dependency on specific corporate ecosystems, data ownership, and the narrowing of digital experience. These are not just technical decisions, they are pedagogical and ethical ones. There is also the question of not all mainstream schools having the funding for individual iPads or tablets. When reading on paper, we look at schools, how they are evolving through technology. Yet in practice, it is not the case. I personally have taught in schools where students hardly have the opportunity to explore or learn through this essential tool of knowledge. The original framework of education hasn't changed. We are still teaching in traditional classrooms, where it's all teacher taught. With curriculum being overloaded and policies strict to finish the curriculum, there is no time for children to explore through child-oriented pedagogy. It's nice to hear of this concept of children learning at their own pace or learning being children-centered, but in reality it's not the case. Even our classrooms are traditionally set. We have progressed in knowledge, but in practice it's like traveling through time. We know in concept, but in reality it's not possible. Technology is the biggest tool, but its availability in schools and to incorporate technology where children have them in their hands. Like I did have a pencil and book in 1973 that was reality and it happened. Now we are still on the same frame, work in compulsory education, and not changing the system which requires immediate intervention, but won't be done because of neoliberal ideology. Keeping the education system the same as it was in 1973 and decades before that time. I visited my primary school and saw the classroom the same as it was then, the arrangement of tables and desks, chairs with a teacher up front. Only change, instead of a blackboard and chalks, their whiteboard with markers and laptop on the teacher's desk for lessons. Takes me back to Sir Ken Robinson. He argued that traditional education systems often stifle creativity and fail to tap into the full potential of students. Robinson advocated for a shift towards a more holistic approach to education that fosters creativity, critical thinking, and individual talents. There are some schools changing, but they lack in staffing, again funding being cut. Looking at technology, and for it to be available for children like iPads or tablets, taking precautions with its uses. It's become an essential tool in our learning process. As a result, I see my role shifting from being a facilitator of tech use to a guide for critical digital engagement. I want to design lessons that not only use digital tools, but challenge students to think about why and how we use them. This includes incorporating media analysis, co-creating content like podcasts or videos, and encouraging reflection on their digital habits. For my learners, especially in a world saturated with media and rapid technological change, digital literacy is essential to agency and citizenship. It empowers them to navigate complex information landscapes, participate meaningfully in digital culture, and question the systems they're part of. Final thoughts have deepened my appreciation of digital literacy as a transformative and critical practice, one that must be embedded in both my teaching philosophy and daily classroom practices.